Love it. Now you're hungry. All right, so welcome to Summer Wildlife. Welcome to Food Fight Night. Never in a million years did I think growing up in church that I would ever get to come to church for a food fight. You guys just don't know how good you have it. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night, but hang on, it's coming in a little bit later. Now, when I was in middle school, and first of all, way back then it was called junior high school, not middle school, but I went to a really big public junior high school, and coming out of elementary world into that was a little bit crazy, but in my seventh grade year, when I got there, we had this really huge cafeteria. Everybody ate at the same time. I discovered something that I had never experienced before in all my life, and it was called a legitimate food fight. No joke, these happened not super regularly, but multiple times through my junior high years. Now, sometimes you got a warning, and it was usually somebody going, food fight, which meant you had about 10 seconds to decide whether you were in or out on that game, all right? And so if you were smart, you ran for the walls of the cafeteria and just lined up, which in hindsight, looking back, was probably not the smartest because you were literally sitting ducks. But it never went that direction. Like everybody that stayed in the rows of the tables, all of a sudden, like food just starts taking off a little bit at a time. You know, there's like PB&J going through the air, but then it always ramped up. Next thing you know, like there goes a milkshake. Yes, my junior high had milkshakes. And it went like flying. And then, but this is where it got crazy. Like as it got going, and I'm talking like literally like food's just doing this, then people just start throwing their trays. Like cafeteria trays are like hurt. Like I watch friends get knocked out cold. Like boom, boom, gone. Like, and this is happening. Like the teachers could do nothing to stop it. And who are you going to punish? All 5 million of them? Like it was just crazy. So every now and then I decided to stay in. Now I liked food a little too much, so I never threw mine. I threw that because I wanted to still eat mine. So I just threw the people who got up and ran for the walls. So I'm like, you sucker. You know, they left. So I'm throwing their lunch and like shooting things over. And like, man, I'm just covered. So, but then you had, like it would dawn on you like, oh man, I got to sit in class the rest of the day and I've got like milkshake running down my face. But they were fun, but at the same time, absolutely terrifying. You just always had to watch for the flying tray. You did not want one of those in the back of the head. But I kid you not, this was crazy. I have no idea how we got away with these all the time. But like I said, once they got going, like no teachers, they were on the walls too. No one wanted to get in to try to stop it because it just, food was going everywhere. Now, every single week in here, we've been using one of our summer wildlife themes to talk about a topic from God's Word. So you may be wondering, Todd, how in the heck are you going to teach anything from God's Word when it comes to a food fight? Because there weren't too many food fights in the Bible, at least that I'm aware of. But there was one in an awesome movie that I love from, well, later years for sure. It was in the movie Hook. Take a look.
Thank you.
Now, no joke, that's what, that's coming later for you. And that's what it was like in my junior high years in the cafeteria. And by the way, if you've never seen the movie Hook, Netflix it tonight, so good. All right, but that's not where we're going tonight. But now, our food fight tonight may not look like the one from Hook. I'm not sure about the one in the Bible. And in fact, we're not just going to talk about food tonight, even though the Bible does talk about food. We're going to talk about more than just food tonight. We're actually going to talk about our bodies and how that relates to kind of all of life. Now, one of the things that all of us have in common is we all have bodies. I want to talk about what our bodies have to do with God, because I want to talk to you guys at this point in your life about your bodies, because you're all hitting an age where there's going to start to be a lot more pressure on you and on your body. There's kind of this image that some of you are going to start to feel like you have to achieve, or this standard or this ideal that the world has set about how you should look. But then there also, you guys are entering into a time in middle school in your bodies where there's going to be pressure to either put things in your bodies or do things with your bodies that you need to know what God's Word says. And I would imagine, because what usually happens as you move into the middle school years is you start to become more aware of your body and you start to care a little bit more about your image and things that didn't matter when you were in elementary school all of a sudden matter to you now. You used to not care what people thought about you, and now all of a sudden you care how people think, and you didn't even bother combing your hair, and now you're like, I really care what my hair looks like or how it's cut. I didn't really worry about my clothes, but now I care what kind of clothes I wear, what kind of brand I wear, or what they may look like, right? We start to all kind of care about these things. And I would say those are all okay things. In fact, I'm going to show you tonight that the Bible actually shows us that we should care about our bodies, about our image, about more than just the way we look, but how we are at the very core. And so I wonder how many of you tonight, how many of you have heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Anybody kind of heard that phrase? Yeah, it's kind of been around for a long time, or I guess another way to say it is like donuts in, donuts around, like your waist kind of thing. I don't know, we're going to do something with donuts maybe a little bit later, or you know, what you take in definitely comes back out. But I want you to see, as we're kind of talking about this idea of like garbage in or garbage out, no matter how you say it, the real key is what you're putting in. The real key behind this is the intake. What's actually going into your bodies. Because you can change all the other variables about your life, but if you don't change what goes in, then nothing else will really matter. I don't know if you remember this guy named Daniel in the Old Testament. He and his buddies were actually taken out of their land, taken to a foreign land called Babylon. And the Babylonians kind of changed these guys' names, changed everything about them. They even changed their lifestyle. They changed everything to make them one of them, even down to the food they were eating. They really tried to change, to brainwash these guys, so to speak. But Daniel and his buddies kind of weren't having it. If you remember early on in the story, they were like, hey, you're going to eat the king's meat, and he eats this, this, and this, and they drink this. And Daniel and his buddies said, hey, what if we challenge you to something, because we don't want to eat that. Because way back in the Old Testament, they knew God had set up all these rules when it came to what to eat and what not to eat, what to put in the body, what not to go in the body. And they said, hey, what if, king, what if we challenge you to a little food challenge here? You and your guys eat this food for the next 10 days, and me and my buddies are going to eat the way God taught us to eat. And if the end of 10 days, if we're not healthy, if we're not more fit, if things about us aren't better, then, hey, we'll just do what you want us to do. And the king goes, okay, yeah, I'll take you up on that challenge. If you remember how the story played out, at the end of those 10 days, Daniel and his buddies, like everything about them, they were healthier, their skin looked better, everything. Why? Because they did things God's way. They weren't going to compromise on their convictions. The results kind of spoke for themselves. Now, obviously, our talk tonight is not about eating this or eating that or losing weight or feeling healthier, or even though those are good things. But I want to talk about, with this idea of what goes in comes out, or you are what you eat, I want you to see the spiritual principle that is at work here. And just like what you take in with food affects your entire life, meaning how healthy you are or what your energy level is like, how long you may live or what your risk for disease is, all these kind of things. Food just doesn't affect your weight. But I also want you to see the same principle. Everything you take in affects every area of your life, even spiritually. Meaning the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, the activities we participate in, things that we may put into our life through any of our senses. The Bible says this, what comes in will most certainly come out. We can't put garbage in, so to speak, and not expect garbage to come back out of our lives. Look with me at John chapter 6, and this is how the Message kind of paraphrases it. It says this, don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that, meaning food that just kind of goes away. He says this, rather work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. What the Bible is talking about here is not just, hey, watch what you put in. But it says, I'm going to take it a step further. I want you to put in stuff that's going to spiritually nourish you. I want you to put things into your life that are going to change who you are, just not now, but change who you are forever. So God cares, he's saying, about what goes into our bodies. God cares about what we process. And so we just don't want to think about the bad stuff, but we also want to think about how do we put the good in our lives. Because the last thing I ever want to do for you guys is set you up to think Christianity is all a bunch of rules about just do these things and don't do these things. Or act like this, but don't act like this. Or talk like this, but don't talk like that. Now sure, there are rules that govern that, but the Bible says the big, most important thing is your heart. It's what's taking place on the inside of you. It has everything to do with not just our soul, but our body as well. Think about it. When Christ died on the cross, we're going to see this in a little bit. He paid the price not only for your soul, but for your body. He bought every bit of you when he shed his blood for you. And so I want to show you tonight from God's Word what this looks like. What would it look like for us to think about our bodies like the Bible teaches us to? And the first thing is this, God created and loves the body. Where do we get this? Well, I love this. Psalm 139, David's talking about how God kind of put him together. Look with me on the screen. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. I love it because this verse shows us that we're valuable, every part of us, even our bodies, from before you even breathed your first breath, before you even saw the light of the world. God knew you and designed you, and he fashioned you and he formed you. All of you was created by God. In an amazing process, in an amazing and intricate design of exactly how he wanted you to be. And he wants you to love and honor your body like he has created you to, like he does. Look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 13, it says this, our bodies, they were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. I don't know if you realize that or not. But God cares about your body. See, it's easy kind of for followers of Christ to get kind of the reputation that we're against the body, that God's against the body because we have this sin nature and sin is bad and because we can do bad things with our body. And so the only thing, you know, that our body's good for, man, gets sick and all these bad things. And so we're just going to get rid of it one day. God's going to give us a new one. That somehow our bodies are evil. But Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches that the Lord made our bodies and the Lord is for our bodies. And that means if that's true, then he's given us the responsibility to take care of them the best that we can while we're here on this earth. And we can't control some things about being born in a sinful world, so disease or sickness or imperfections. But we can honor God by the way we treat our bodies. And one of the ways we do that is simply taking care of it. how we take care of our mind mentally, how we take care of our soul spiritually, how we take care of our bodies physically. Why? Think about how much God took the effort in forming you. That should affect the way that you care for yourself. Second truth is this, God's Spirit lives in our body. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Isn't that really cool? I don't know if you realize this or not, but what this passage is teaching, this verse is teaching, is that actually your body has a resident. And that may sound a little bit weird, but you got to hang with this idea a little bit spiritually, because it's not just my body anymore. If I understand this, as I've given my heart and life to Jesus, that means I've given Him everything. And He says He places His Spirit in me. That means wherever I go, He goes. That means whatever movies I watch, He watches. What music I listen to, He listens to. Whatever I do to my body, I'm doing to Him in essence. When we start to think about this principle that way, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if Jesus would want to watch that. I don't know if Jesus would want to listen to that. I don't know if that's the way Jesus, that activity, is that something that He would participate in? Maybe then I shouldn't participate, right? All of a sudden when we start to think, God's Spirit lives in me, He goes everywhere with me, it starts to change the way that I think about what I do with my body, how I respect my body. And so we've got to remember that when God bought us, He didn't buy us as slaves, but He bought us as dwellings. His goal was not to make us work for Him, but that He would make us full of Him. That we would be filled by Him, Ephesians tells us. And so that should challenge us as we think about the things that we process. The things we see with our eyes, Jesus sees. The things we hear with our ears, Jesus hears, right? God's Holy Spirit is there with us. That should make us careful about what we take in. Because it's not just us. It's God's Spirit that lives in us. And so if you can focus on the way things enter into your body, right, through your senses, your eyes, your mind, your ears, your nose, your mouth, then you can work at helping guard what goes in. That's where your battle will be won or lost in seeing your body as God's temple. How do I protect what goes in? Because again, that old saying is right. Garbage in, garbage out. The Bible reiterates that. What you put in will come out in your life. There's never a chance where you'll just go, hey, I can listen to that and it doesn't affect me. Or I can watch that, it doesn't really affect me. You may not see it immediately, but what you put in will come back out. Number three, God doesn't want us to use our bodies for immorality. Now, that's kind of a big word. I'll talk about it, but let me show it to you in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And then later in verse 18, he says, flee immorality. Now, we have to understand what we're not putting in and what we're running away from. What is this immorality that he's talking about? Well, he's referring to sin, to be immoral, to be not moral, is to be sinful. But specifically, he's referring to, in this passage, sexual sin. And the Bible defines sexual sin this way. Any sin that is outside God's design for the covenant of marriage, right? One husband, one wife, together for the rest of their lives. And the Bible says that any kind of sin before marriage would be in this category of immorality. Any kind of sin outside of marriage would be this sin of immorality. And so we start to understand that God is telling us that our bodies should not be used to sin sexually. Why? Because God doesn't want you to have fun? No. But because God desires that you would protect His body. Why? Because He lives in you. That you would protect your purity and your body. And the reason is this is because God's design is so good. You have been bought, your body, male or female, has been bought with the price of the Son of God, Jesus, who died on the cross for you. You don't belong to you anymore. And so we see that Jesus dies for our purity. He desires that we live in purity in boyfriend and girlfriend relationships. later in husband and wife relationships, right? In this area. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me. It says, he gave his life, meaning Jesus gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing what is right. I love that. And when Jesus died for you, he died to cleanse you of your sin. Now, does that mean you will be perfect on this earth? No. But it means that as we look to him and as we trust him, as we deal with the temptations around us, that our mind is set on saying, Jesus, I want to honor you. I want to be pure because you died to make me pure. I want to be holy because you died to make me holy. I want to be, I love that last phrase, I want to be totally committed to doing what's right. Why? So that people see me and go, Todd, wow, you're just so good. No. So that people could see me and go, something's different about you. And I can go, Jesus is different about me. Jesus has changed me. Jesus gives me a new way of thinking. Jesus has changed what I see, what I listen to, what I put in, what I do with my body, right? Jesus has changed that because I want to be totally committed to honoring him with my body. I want to be totally committed to doing what is right, which leads to the final meaning of being bought with a price. Number four, God desires us to honor and glorify him with our bodies. I hope you see that it's more than just coming to church on a Sunday night that God is after in your life. It's more than just coming on a Sunday morning and being a part of worship or being in a dig group. In fact, Romans 12 tells us that the way we live our lives is how we worship. That what we give our bodies to is our spiritual act of worship. God cares about every part of you. And that's why places like Colossians 3 say, whatever you do, whether it's your work, whether it's your schoolwork, whether it's your job one day or your chores at your house, whether it's how you relate to your friends, how you respect your parents, he says, do everything for God. Do everything to honor God. Obey him. Look how the Bible says it in 1 Corinthians 6:20. Hang on to this idea. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. What was that high price? It was his son Jesus, his own life. That's the price that God bought you with. And he says, because of that, when you think about the cross, when you remember that, here's the challenge. You must honor God with your body. You must honor him in what you eat and drink. You must honor him with what you see and listen to. You must honor him with the words that you speak. You must honor him with the friends that you hang out with. You must honor him with the activities you participate in. You must honor him in boyfriend and girlfriend relationships one day in all areas of your life, he says. Honor him because God bought you with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. God's put his seal of ownership on you. You bear the name Christian. Little Christ, follower of Christ. Sure, you still keep, I am still Todd Velliber, but I have over that name, follower of Christ. Son of what? Adopted into God's family. Son of the King now. A new last name, a new identity. It's not just Todd anymore. It's Todd, a part of God's family. It's Todd, one who's been bought by Jesus Christ, whose blood has cleansed me and forgiven me and changed me, so I don't want to be like the old Todd anymore because I've been made new. And that affects how I think and how I act and what I do with my body. Jesus paid a high price for all of us. And if he paid such a high price for us to have the opportunity to know him, to be forgiven, to be made new, then it makes sense that we should respond with the same understanding of honoring him with our body. That in all ways with our body, we would show the world that God is more gracious. God is more satisfying. He's more precious. He's the greatest treasure, more than anything else my body desires. That I would want to honor him. It means we're going to be careful. We're going to be wise with what we do with our bodies and what we put into our bodies. Paul instructs us that the body is a temple of God and that the body belongs to God, and that has huge implications for our life and how we live our lives. I just want you guys to see as we kind of wrap it up tonight that this idea of the Holy Spirit living in you is huge. It affects everything. It changes how you think and how you act and how you live. At least it should. And the Bible places this strong importance on holiness and on purity. Because we don't belong to ourselves anymore, it means we don't have the right to just do what feels good. We just don't have the right to do whatever we want to do. I know it can be tempting to think, but all my friends are acting this way, or all my friends watch this or listen to this or do that. But God, that's never an excuse for God. That we're to fight against maybe the peer pressure, the temptations in this culture. Why? Because our bodies aren't our own anymore. They were bought with a price. So we want to honor God with our bodies because we are His temple. His Spirit lives in us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much that You have put Your Spirit in us, that we can know You now, that we can be changed by You, that we can have a relationship with You. And God, I pray more than anything tonight, on this food fight night, God, that maybe as we get messy and filthy and have fun together, that we would see the implications, just like we may get messy on the outside, but that kind of gets cleaned up. There's things that make us messy on the inside that You died on the cross to clean us up for. And that if we've given our heart and life to You, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We've been bought with an incredibly high price, so we want to honor You, God, with our bodies, with what we see, what we watch, what we listen to, the choices that we make, the friends that we hang out with, what we do with our bodies, God, in everything that we do, we want to honor You. God, tonight I pray for any middle school student that may not know You. None of this will make sense until they first have a relationship with You. God, I pray tonight they've heard the good news of the gospel, that You love them so much that You died on the cross so that they could have forgiveness. They could have life. Their sin could be washed away. God, I pray tonight You'd give them the courage to just turn from their sin and trust You. Come and talk to me or any one of our leaders and say, I just want to know this Jesus. I want to know how I can be forgiven. And God, for these middle school students that may know You, man, their heart belongs to You. I pray that more than their heart, they would realize that everything about their body belongs to You. That You have placed Your Spirit within them. And You desire that they would honor You in all that they do. God, we want to be a pure and a holy people. Because that's what You've called us to. That's what You've made us through Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Your great name. Amen.